A house is made of wood and stone, but only love can make a home. Welcome to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, helping you make your home into one you'll love even more. Here are your hosts, Dan Hansen and Betsy Thompson.
Well, happy Saturday, everybody out there. And Betsy, you too.
That's not very exuberant. Last week, you were like...
Last week was the beginning of spring break.
And now you're at the end.
I had the week off. Uh-huh. And yeah, now I see... It's the opposite of the light at the end of the tunnel. I see the beginning again of the slog towards summer vacation. So
well, and it wasn't very warm this past week for spring break. I mean,
it never is.
Not really springy type temperatures, was it?
No, it wasn't what I hoped. I always envisioned something really, really wonderful. A little bit of paradise. That's what I imagined. And then I get Michigan.
Well,
I chose to live here.
We'll get there eventually, and then it's gonna, you know, be followed by summer. And if you have a AC, that means that you're going to want all that cool air that you're pumping into your house to stay there. And that means that it might actually be time to think about some vinyl replacement windows. That's why we brought in an expert to help us wade through all the confusion when it comes to that.
And we're also going to have another Betsy's Toolbox segment, which makes Betsy all excited. The rest of us just have to ride along and let her run the show. But this time, it's about paint tools.
Right.
There are certain and often unique, very interesting paint tools that you really need to have, and we're going to tell you why in a little bit.
And also, what happens when your kids outgrow that SpongeBob yellow and that bright lipstick pink that they liked at age 9.
It's time to move. That's what happens.
Right.
Nobody wants to paint
How
over that.
On earth are you going to cover over that? Because it just won't happen. Wait, it will happen, and we'll tell you how in about 15 minutes.
But first, before we do all of that, we're going to be talking with Tom Folkert from Eco 190 about a brand new and incredibly unique and fun service. Tom, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Now, every single year, multiple times, especially it gets really bad in the summer, I'll come home from work, and my wife, I can tell she's distraught. Something bad has happened.
Okay.
And I walk in, and she explains that she's been basically up to her elbows in the garbage bin outside, getting it clean.
And is she wondering why you aren't doing that for her?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the plan. But the thing is, over time, this big outdoor garbage bin gets really, really gross. And so she'll clean it, like I said, 3-4 times a year just to get through it.
Sure.
And we just figured that's the way of it. You know, we draw straws. Shortest straw has to clean the bin.
And you always make her have the shortest one, don't you?
I try.
Yes. Yeah. But it's then,
I think he's picking out the straws.
But then all of a sudden, out of the blue, you contacted us and made us aware of a service that you offer and wondered if we could talk about it on the radio. And it was so cool. I wanted to get you here. You're from Eco 190.
Right.
And you do, in a really fancy way, basically what my wife does 3-4 times a year, correct?
We could solve that problem for you.
Let's talk about that because I want that problem solved.
Okay.
So do I.
So what we do, we come on site to your home. We have an automated cleaning unit.
Sure.
Cleans your recycle bins, your trash bins, your yard waste bins. Less than 30 seconds. We clean, sanitize, and deodorize the bins.
In 30 seconds or
less? Less than 30 seconds.
My wife took 2 or 3 hours.
Okay. Okay.
So that's miserable 3 hours.
Right. That's
30 seconds
miserable.
Is nothing.
And it's an unhealthy 3 hours because of all the bacteria that's growing inside
of
the
container.
Of
course, that was prime on my list.
Well,
it made me look like I didn't care.
If she uses bleach, she's killing your grass too, I'm guessing.
That's less grass for your wife to cut then,
that's right?
I'm assuming your wife's doing it because she's doing the cans.
She does the work.
Okay.
I'm there just to kind of, I don't really know what purpose I serve. Let's just get back to this. So you will come on site and do this. How does it work? Walk me through the service.
Okay. We'll pull up with our cleaning unit. On the back of the cleaning unit, there's 2 grapple claws that will pick up your residential trash cans, lifts it up over the top of the cleaning unit, and there's 2 high-pressure, high-temperature pressure heads that clean, and we use high-temperature water, so it's over 190 degrees, which kills all the bacteria. That's what's making your garbage can smell, is the bacteria growing inside of there. Less than 30 seconds, we'll put it back down, spray off the outsides, and then we'll leave fresh smelling deodorant in there also. So every time you open your can lid, you'll get that nice fragrance rather than the what you did have.
Yeah, rather than that. That's always really foul. It can be.
Yeah.
It's not always foul.
Ooh.
But it can get that way.
Yes.
So you'll do all of that I'm assuming with the truck, it collects all the water. There's nothing spilling over.
Yeah.
What do you do with all
that? Well, the interesting part of it is that on board, we have a 15-stage filtration system. So all that dirty water that we've collected in the self-contained.
What is that like? Is that really nice?
That's
unfiltered water.
Ask your wife.
Do you want to bathe in it?
No, I just... It just sounds so foul.
Wait, she wants you to bathe in it so you understand what she's been through.
What she was going through.
Yeah, uh-huh. But it filters that?
Yeah, it does.
And then what do you do with that?
We could actually, if we're short on water, could actually recycle that water. It's that clean.
Oh, really?
But it's clean enough to go into the sanitary sewer, so all that wastewater is recovered.
We're in the studio with Tom Folkerts on the Repclite Home Improvement Show, and I have a question because this is such a new thing to me, and I've never heard of this particular service. Where did this come from? Is this something you dreamed up, or are they doing it in other parts of the country, other parts of the world?
And why didn't my wife think of this first?
So that you could get all the royalties from it?
Well, I'd let her have the credit. I'll just help with the money.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay. Well, let me tell you, there's not a lot of money to spend quite yet.
Okay.
So,
shoot.
But to get back to your question, Betsy, my wife and I moved into a condo about a year ago. 6 months, my whole garage started to smell bad. Mm-hmm. Started getting the cars. Every time we opened the door to the condo, it would get into the living room. And it was because of my laziness, a lot of it, just throwing the garbage in the trash can, not doing anything about it. But
instead of on the road.
Instead of where other people throw it. And, you know, but that night I went down and Googled trash bin cleaning services, and I wasn't coming up with anything.
Mm-hmm.
Did some more searching, and came up with some companies in Arizona, California, Texas that were doing it,
mm-hmm.
and did some more searching and found out that the service originated and is very popular in Australia and the United Kingdom. And in recent months, it's come into the United States, and we're actually the first company to provide it to West Michigan.
So are you part of a broader franchise?
No. We're family-owned, local family-owned. It's myself, brother-in-law, nephew, and son.
But the equipment is all extremely specialized.
The equipment is extremely specialized. That night, I continued to do research on it and found that there's a manufacturer of the equipment right in Caledonia. So I took my residential bin over there the next day and did a demo on it. And in less than 30 seconds, it was like brand new. And at that point, I was sold. So
then you started Eco 190.
Yeah. We started November 1st.
And what service area do you cover?
We're leaving that open at this point because we are so new. Mm-hmm. We're trying to form routes around where the popularity of the service will be. So, you know, we've been doing things in Holland, Byron Center,
great.
Caledonia.
So you'll cover our entire listening area. That's good.
Yeah.
Except where Betsy lives. So Betsy's still going to have to crawl into her bin to clean it out.
I'll send my wife over.
We'll come over. We'll go out of the way for you, Betsy.
There you go.
Well, you got to go all the way to Kalamazoo.
Okay.
You know,
just close that area a little bit.
Yeah. But I'll convince people to do it.
Yeah, you can try to convince people.
Yeah, I will.
But overall, the system is really cool.
Mm.
I really want that because the garbage at our house, like you said, I don't put it in the garage for that reason.
Right.
Yeah.
So
right.
I try to hide it around the house. And
you know,
sometimes it doesn't hide very well.
Maggots come crawling out and we know where you hit it.
I hide the bin. I don't hide the garbage. Yeah. Behind the couch is full, guys. We're going to have to move to the other room. But you also do commercial sized bins.
Yeah. So we could do, say, for example, restaurant dumpsters. We're able to clean those, deodorize those, and at the same time recover all that wastewater. So that's going to be a pretty big area for us, I think. In addition to that, we could do dumpster pad enclosures, mm-hmm. sidewalks, truck docks, truck washing, basically pretty much anything the regular pressure washer company can.
Right. It's not just the...
No. That will be our main focus, but we also are able to diversify and do other things as well.
Okay. So now one last quick question. How often does this have to be done? Do we have to have it done once a month, once every couple months?
Yeah. I mean, for the ultimate cleaning, I would recommend once a month.
Okay.
That way you'll stay up on it. It'll be continually fresh smelling and continually clean.
Mm-hmm.
The other service levels that we have are every other month.
Okay.
And then quarterly.
And then you time it with the garbage pickup, I'm assuming. Yeah. You don't want to do it when the garbage bin is full.
No.
It's
kind of
harder
defeats
that way.
The purpose. Yeah.
I'm a thinker.
Yeah,
I
you
see
are.
These things.
We might have an opening for you.
Management material.
It would be either the day after the garbage truck has come through or the following day.
Very cool. We're going to get your contact information out to everybody in just a minute. But before we do, you want to give away one of these to one of our listeners, right?
Right.
What are they going to get?
They're going to get a free cleaning up to three bins, either trash, recycle, yard waste, whatever they have. So,
and so we've got a contest. We're going to put a link up on our Facebook page at the end of the broadcast today.
Yep.
And all you need to do is go there and leave a comment about the grossest thing you ever found in your garbage bin.
Oh.
Do we dare do that? We can do that.
Well, it's not that that I'm concerned about. It's the photos that we might get.
That would be great. But we will take from all of those entries, all of those people who leave comments, we'll choose a winner and announce it next week on the show.
Perfect.
Sound good, Tom?
Yeah, that sounds great.
All right. If our listeners do want to get in touch with you and get more information about Eco 190 and all the things you do, how's the best way?
Give us a call at 616-594-8396, or you can look us up on the web at eco190degrees.com.
That's eco190 and then the word degrees.
Degrees spelled out.
They don't have to find that little symbol?
No.
Yeah, because I can never do that.
They won't find it.
eco190degrees.com. Tom Folkerts, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, I guarantee it will happen. Your kids will grow up and they will hate the colors that their rooms are painted. And it might be a trick painting over them. We'll tell you how to do it when we come back. Stay tuned.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, Betsy, we received a really good question. It's a really complicated question, but I know people are going to resonate with this.
Oh,
the question's going to resonate with them.
Right.
Do people resonate, or does...
It doesn't matter. Let's move on.
I can't. I'm stuck.
You can come back to it and let the listeners know at the end of the segment.
I got to think this through.
Anyway, as Dan was trying to say, we received a question from a listener, and she's asking about repainting her daughter's room. She wants to repaint it for the birthday, and the daughter's turning 17. Now, currently, the room is bright pink and purple because she loved it when she was nine. And she no longer loves it. So her question is, how do I cover up that bright color with minimal work? And also, I want to accomplish all of it in a weekend. No small feat there. And she also wants to know if we have any time-saving tips for doing walls and trim in the very short period of time that she has.
It's a great question. And there are so many things within it to talk about. So let's get to that. And first, let's deal with the bright colors that are on the wall.
Pink and purple.
We see a lot of this. SpongeBob yellow, fire engine red, all these crazy colors in little kids' rooms.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, they get to the point where they don't like that anymore. Now, what do we do?
Right.
Covering over them is tough. Regular finish paint. A lot of people come in the store and say the color is bleeding through the walls.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bleeding through the walls.
It's just hard to cover.
Right. It's just that you're seeing it. Bleeding through is different.
Right.
It's a whole different process. It's stains and stuff bleed through and actually rise to the surface of your new coat of paint. What you're seeing in these instances with bright colors underneath, you're just seeing through it. It's not covering. It's not hiding.
Right.
So how do we get to the point where the paint hides? Well, a lot of people will opt for a tinted primer.
Yeah, it's a good option, but it's not going to help our listener work quickly by any means, because that means a coat of your primer and then two coats of top coat.
Right. It's important
to get those three coats.
Two coats of top coat. A lot of people want to skip, you know, one coat of primer, one coat of top coat. But the top coat gives you the durability, the washability, the color, all of those things. So you really need a second coat to make that look exactly the way you want it and to make it hold up.
Right.
So you're looking at three coats in that instance. There is a better option. Of course, it's a little more expensive, but you're going to save time and it's going to be cheaper in the long run. And it's Benjamin Moore's Aura. It's the top of their line. Best thing they make. It's going to cover in two coats guaranteed.
Yeah.
You don't
over
need the primer.
Any color.
Right. Any color over any color.
Yep.
Two coats coverage guaranteed. And the colorants that they use in this product are Gen X colorants, they're called. And they will resist fading. Mm-hmm. They're extremely durable. They're zero VOC.
Zero VOC.
The colorants are.
So when you get the zero VOC paint, you're also getting zero VOC colorants, which makes the entire thing zero VOC.
Right. Very little smell. It's going to dry quickly. It's a water-based product. It will cover. And that's what you're looking for.
Yes.
Yes, it's a little more expensive per gallon, but in this situation, what you're looking at otherwise is a gallon of primer and then still enough paint to do that room twice. So you're buying this extra product and you're putting that entire extra coat on.
Yeah, the that's Aura, not saving you any time by doing the primer stuff.
No, and in fact,
first.
You're probably even going to be saving money by going straight to Aura and getting better coverage and better hide right off the bat.
Right. We're answering a question that we got from a listener on the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, and it's something that comes up all the time. She's wondering how to cover over a really bright color that her daughter used to love and no longer does. The first step is obviously to get the right paint that will minimize the amount of coats that you have to do. The second thing that you really need to be aware of is how you're actually applying that paint. A lot of people, the tendency is to push on their roller cover and try
we
to get...
We want to get every last drop yes. out of that roller cover. We want to push that paint as far as we can.
Mm-hmm.
We have run into people who we've sold them a gallon of paint to do a room, one coat.
Uh-huh.
I have talked to them and they've come in and they're frustrated because they did that room two coats with half a gallon.
Yeah.
It's because they spread it so thin, it's not going to cover very well. It's not going to hold up very well.
Right.
You're working way too hard. You're doing it incorrectly.
Yes.
So the best way to do it is to not put tons of pressure on that roller cover. You just let it work over the wall, light pressure.
Yeah, it should just glide over that wall. If you start having to push on that roller cover, that means you need to put more paint on it and start again. Just as you start to see it fade, that's when you need to reapply.
If you have to ice your arm down after rolling a wall,
you've done
it
wrong.
You're working way too hard.
Exactly. Now, when it comes to the tips and tricks that the listener asked about, she wants to get this project done in just a weekend. And, you know, painting in a weekend can be done. It's the prep work that takes all the time. 90% of what you're doing here is the prep work. And you may not skip it. Because that's just a really bad idea.
Well, the tendency is to want to skip it.
Yes.
Like Betsy's saying, in a lot of projects, 90% of the time that you're working should be done on prep work. The painting part isn't the big time killer. It's the prep work.
Yep.
And so when people are crunched for time, they try to cut out the prep work.
Right.
Bad results.
Yes.
So a better thing to do, if you know you're painting in the weekend coming up, start the prep work now. There's so many things you can do on little bits during the night. You know, different nights leading up to your weekend project.
Yeah.
Take the pictures and the mirrors and all of that stuff down off the walls on a Monday night, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Patch your nail holes the next night with spackling. Sand them up the next night when they're dry.
Right.
Wash the walls down on another night. The Friday before you start painting, tape all the trim and everything off. And that way, Saturday, when you're ready to start working, you don't have to do all of that. You've got hours of work already done. All you got to do is move the furniture out, throw a drop cloth down, and you're ready to go.
Yeah, and that means you have it done by Sunday.
Exactly.
Now,
one last
plan.
Quick bonus tip. If you're doing a bedroom for your child, as a surprise, we strongly recommend not. Surprise makeovers are fun on TV because we don't have to watch the aftermath. But at the paint store, I have seen the aftermath, and it's not very pretty. So I've developed a number of rules.
Okay.
First off, husbands should never, ever try to surprise anybody with a room repaint.
Right.
Ever. Unless the color's maybe been picked ahead of time.
Yeah, then it's okay.
If you've got the stamp of approval, go for it.
Right.
The other problem scenario is when parents try to surprise teenagers with a room repaint.
Yeah, don't send them to summer camp and then paint their room.
No, it's not going to end well.
No.
I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Involve them in the process. You'll be much happier.
Right. All right. Now, we talked about how to get a paint job done quickly, but there's one thing we didn't talk very much about. That's using the right tools. So coming up next, we've got another segment of Betsy's Toolbox, and this time we're going to focus on my favorite paint tools. Stay tuned.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, welcome back, and we're starting a Betsy's Toolbox segment. And
we
before
are.
You cut me off, Betsy, I want to start this one with a story. You started the last one with a story.
Okay.
I've got a story because it makes the point.
Okay.
I don't even know what tools you're going to talk about, but I'm still going to make the point.
All right.
And you can work with it.
Go ahead.
Having the right tool makes all the difference. It makes the job go quicker,
right.
easier, all of those things. You agree?
Yes.
All right. Here's what happened to me. Years back, Pinewood Derby.
Okay.
My son's got to build a car. So, of course, all the dads out there know that means we build the car.
Right.
Our sons watch. We build the car. Mm-hmm. So I'm working on the car. And what I didn't have at home at the time was a vise.
Okay.
You know, something I could put the car in.
Yeah.
And I had to do some chiseling. Uh-huh. So rather than put it in a vise, which would have been the right thing to do, since I didn't have one, I just figured I'd hold the car securely in my hand and just be very safe. You know where this is going. So I'm chiseling away with this razor sharp chisel. And don't get squeamish here. It slips and hits my hand. Miraculously, nothing happens. It glanced off, I don't know, my Superman skin, something like that.
Yeah.
And my son said, oh, Dad, let's just go to Grandpa's. He's down the road and he's got a vise. You can put it in that. I said, Caleb, we're good to go here. You saw that. I'm being careful. And then 2 seconds later, I plunged the chisel straight through my hand. And 2 minutes later, I'm in the car being shuttled to the emergency room for stitches, all because I didn't have the right tool.
That does not surprise me.
Slowed my work down, made it into a horrible thing, and my hand hurt for a very long time afterwards.
Well, yeah.
Get the right tools.
Exactly.
The segment is yours now. I set it up for success.
Why, thank you. Well, we just talked in the last segment about painting quickly, you know, maybe getting it done over a weekend. And all of these tools that we're about to talk about are going to help you do that. So the first thing you want to do is get a really good roller frame.
Okay.
Because what good is rolling paint on a wall if you don't have a good roller frame?
They squeak. The bad ones
squeak.
Well,
they squeak, and sometimes they seize up. Like, they just don't roll. They just kind of sit there.
Yes, then they're like a little snowplow pushing your paint, and then, and you get terrible coverage that way.
Yes, and it looks bad. So what I like to recommend is the Sherlock frame. It's a frame from Worcester, 9-inch, comes in a 4-inch, and things like that. It's a more sturdy roller frame. You can get those wire ones, but they bend a whole lot more easily than this Sherlock one does.
You pay a little more. It's about, what, $4 more?
Yeah, $3, $4
more. But it is going to last much longer. It's a very solid frame.
And it has ball bearings in it. That's where the non-squeaking comes into play. And for all those who are prone to headaches, that is completely worth it.
Yeah, that squeaking is a very annoying
sound.
That'll
make you grit your teeth fast.
Yeah. All right, so a good roller frame.
A good roller frame. Now, to go along with that roller frame, I always like to recommend the Sherlock GT convertible pole. Say that 10
that
times fast.
Very fancy.
Well, it's not necessarily fancy, but it's really cool because it just snaps onto that roller frame that I just talked about. There's a little locking mechanism. That means you don't have to screw it on. That means your roller frame doesn't unscrew from it as you're working.
If you've ever been working with a roller frame and it starts to unthread from the pole, it's a real frustrating thing over time to keep tightening it down.
Yeah.
What Betsy's talking about, these extension poles, like she said, lock right onto the roller frame. And it's not going to unscrew.
No.
And having an extension pole is a must. You've got to have that if you do any amount of painting. It's going to so minimize the effort and the work that you put in. If you don't use one on a regular basis and you instead use a ladder all the time, get one of these extension poles.
Well, the great thing is they come in all different sizes, 1 foot to 12 or 16 foot. And they also,
I like to use the 12 to 16 foot in the bathroom and in small spaces.
Of course.
Really makes it interesting.
Well, the thing I like about this pole as well is you can actually, if that locking mechanism breaks, you can swap it out. We sell those so you can replace it. That's a great thing about it.
Right.
Another thing that you might want to think about having in your painting toolbox is a small ratcheting screwdriver. I have one of these and I cannot live without it because it has all the little bits that go in the bottom part, screws in, and then you have every single thing you could possibly need to get off switch plate covers and things like that. I think it's a must in a painting toolbox.
It's way better than running around trying to find a screwdriver.
Where's my Phillips head? All I can find is a flathead.
Right. And it's way better than just painting over the switch plate covers. Right?
Well,
your results are more professional when you don't paint over everything on your wall.
Yes.
Take it down. Have one of these screwdrivers.
Yes. I also like to make sure that I have a really good putty knife and a 6-in-1. Now, these are two different things.
A 6-in-1. You're going to need to explain that to the uninitiated in the paint crowd.
Well, let's first start with the good part. When I say good, I don't mean a plastic putty knife. I mean a metal putty knife. You don't want plastic, doesn't work as well, sometimes leaves streaks in your mud, things like that. So get metal ones. And a 5-in-1 or a 6-in-1 or 12-in-1, I mean, they sell different kinds. These are a multi-purpose tool. If you get the kind that have the metal on the end, you can bang lids on paint cans with it. It works as a paint can opener.
You could use it to defend yourself if you're painting in shady neighborhoods.
Yes, it's a scraper. Some of them have a nail puller on them, so you can do that. a lot of people come in the store and they say, what the heck is this? Why is it all curved? Why is
it's a really weird looking thing.
It is a weird looking
thing. Lots of points
thing.
And curves.
Yeah. Well, that curve is meant to fit over a roller cover. So you can run it down your roller cover and it will push all the excess paint out of the roller cover back
roller
into your
cleaning
tray.
Tool.
Yes.
Who knew those even existed?
I know. Most people don't. Exactly. Well, and usually it saves you just enough paint for your touch-ups when you need to do it. So that's a bonus.
Okay, so those are a bunch of things you like.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite tools that I love to recommend, I guess it's a tool, but it's a canvas drop cloth runner.
Yes.
I talk about these all the time. They're 4 foot by 15 foot. They price out around $20.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, in my book, a steal.
Yeah.
I use that thing for everything.
I do too.
Along the edge of the wall. It's great to have a canvas drop cloth. You know, plastic is great for a lot of different things. Canvas is so much easier to work on, though, to lay on the floor, to put your tray on, to actually walk across.
Right.
Much less slippery, works so well, and it lasts for so long, and it can be used for so many things.
Now, one last quick thing that everyone should have in their painting toolbox is clean white rags, brand new ones that have never been used that you actually buy.
Right. Not anybody's chopped up underpants, because I know that gets used as white rags.
Yes.
I hate grabbing into the rag bin and finding that.
Nobody likes finding that. Yes. Well, and they're handy because here's the trick. You take that 6-in-1 we talked about, you get a damp rag, you drape it over that 6-in-1, and you run it along the edge where you've just accidentally slopped a little bit of paint, and the paint is gone.
All right. When we come back, we're talking vinyl replacement windows, right? Should be straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
Until you start looking into it and you realize all these different terms are out there. Single pane, double pane, triple pane. I can ride with those.
Uh-huh.
Then we start talking about argon gas.
Huh? What is that?
And the solar heat gain coefficient. It gets very confusing very quickly.
Huh.
Well, we're going to help you cut through all of that confusion and figure out which features really matter for you. That's coming up next. Stay tuned.
If you want to take your DIY skills up a rung, the Repco Light Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, Betsy, one of the projects that a lot of homeowners tackle every year is putting vinyl replacement windows in their home.
Yes, but you don't have to tackle that alone. George Clark from WMGB Home Improvement is here, and he is super hilarious, cracks us up every time he's here. Yes, so that's why we've invited him back. He's a wealth of knowledge and also a whole lot of fun. George, thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for having me.
Now, I know that a lot of people out there have been thinking about vinyl replacement windows, but it just seems like there are so many options, so many different brands. How on earth do we decide? Can you help us cut through a little bit of the clutter that's out there?
Well, I'll do my best.
All right.
And first off, you make a great point. You know, there's good news and there's bad news.
Okay.
The bad news is there's over 3,500 brands of windows out there in the United States. So, of course, I mean, that's really confusing.
Yeah.
The good news is that most of the reputable brands that have been around for a while, they have a good, better, best model within them. And, you know, that's the same old adage. You kind of get what you pay for in that. You know, I think a couple of the important things to look at is how long has that company been in business?
Okay.
Because it doesn't matter what the warranty is. If they're not going to be around to take
right.
care of it, it won't be there.
Yeah.
The beauty of these better companies and the better models is these windows are so much more the same than they are different today than they were years ago. I mean, the technology of what's come in on so many features. And I'll just hit a couple of the quick ones for you. But in the frames have so many little different air channel pockets that are totally sealed off to create a good insulation value in them that it's just kind of crazy. The seals that they use are not only really effective at not letting air leak, but they're durable. All the manufacturers are using very similar product. Most of them have little safety locks on them. And I'm talking every single major manufacturer. They've got great latches that really seal the window off well. They have tilt-in features that everybody seems to love, right?
I love that
for
feature.
For the cleaning.
Yep.
And they've really tested the retracting deals for if you're dealing with a double hung or a slider. They've tested these things, the metal retractors they have on them now. I mean, they all just work just tremendous. I mean, they really are easy.
So you're saying that of all the manufacturers out there, the windows, if I get a good one, are largely the same?
more the same than they are different.
Okay.
And that's where you kind of get into some of the minutiae, because if we're selling a certain brand, we want to highlight that a bit.
Right.
You know, I think the differences are that most of these manufacturers also now offer so many options in finishes, mm-hmm. in colors, in grid types, in types of windows, that even that portion of this can be wildly confusing, right? Hey, take your time, sit down, look at some of the websites out there of what you want to do, because you don't have to live with what you have. You can go to something different. And it makes quite a statement in your house.
Okay, in your opinion, what are some of the main features that I want to make sure I get when I'm making this decision?
First off, pick that good, better, best frame. Right.
Okay.
And most companies will have that and they'll offer it. Mm-hmm. You know, what price point are you in based on what your budget is, how long you're going to be in your house, how long you're going to live with these windows. Right. So mm-hmm. that's kind of the first decision. Now, the next one that we could really have a whole separate confusing little feature.
Well, I love confusing features.
Don't you love those? Are the glass packs that we put in the windows. I mean,
there's a difference.
Holy cow, man. I mean, it is just absolutely mind blowing how much technology there is. I've been doing this a long time and a building scientist, right? I should really know about it.
Mm-hmm.
It still confuses me. So here's the deal on a glass pack that I would share with you is that if you make sure that you get an Energy Star glass pack in it, mm-hmm. by the way, that's going to get you added rebates from the utilities. It's going to get you some tax credits on your taxes if you get that. But that is just a great window. It's a dual pane, gas filled, and it's got a solar film on it.
Mm-hmm.
Really nice window. Now, the difference between that one and the triple pane and the supercalifragilisticexpialidocious screen and gas and everything else, in a window it's like a 10% difference.
Okay. So this Energy Star glass pack, this doesn't put me at the super high-end expensive window.
No, not.
There are other features that will push me above, and that's where you're saying
crazy.
I can get to that point,
yep.
but I'm gaining 10% of
that. And listen to your consultant that's helping you. If you happen to be in that house that's on the southern exposure, sun hitting it all the time, you might want to go with a little extra film
gotcha.
On that one, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not totally exclusive. So as we go through what this is, we've talked a little bit about the frames, good, better, best.
Mm-hmm.
Glass pack, make sure you at least get an Energy Star. If you've got some unique thing, listen to more, but don't let it confuse you that much, because it can really overwhelm you. The features of the window, take a breath, see what they've got, see what's important to you. Now
I want the ones that don't have those little extra little flaps that make it very hard to open the window. You know, the little wedges that are those the open lock or whatever?
No, those are so safety wedges.
Yes,
safety
I can never get back in the house.
When you're trying to break in.
Well, yeah. Gosh, I guess that's actually the idea.
Huh. Yeah, but I want some sort of turnoff, because
yeah.
I always get my little belly wedged. I can't quite make it in.
Yeah, the first time I tried to deal with windows that had that, I'm like, what the heck? Why won't this window go up?
Yeah.
And how do I make those stupid things go
yeah.
down?
All right. We're talking with George Clark from WMGB, West Michigan Glass Block, is who you were
correct.
Originally, about vinyl replacement windows and just some of the chaos out there and the confusion with all the different models, all the different features. George is paring it down and helping us understand mm-hmm. what we need. So what you're saying is, when it comes to features, I just need to go look at what's available and try to figure out what really matters to me. The big things are the glass packs and the frame.
As far as the window itself goes, yes.
Okay.
But I think the biggest decision one has to make is, who are you choosing to install these windows? And, you know, many of the kind of the big volume guys are hiring subcontractors. Those guys get paid a piecework.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have very tight specs on how they're put in. And how they're put in is far more important than which window you decide to go with. And like, I mean, a lot more important.
Okay.
That means everything.
So make the case for that.
Okay. So
help me understand.
When we
it sounds expensive. What you just
yeah,
said.
Well, it is a little more. You know, it's like everything else. It costs a little bit more. But a typical replacement window is actually being placed inside of your old window frame.
Okay.
Okay. They take out the window sashes and the stops, and that window goes in there. The big area of leakage and bad insulation is actually between the old window frame and the frame of your house inside of that wall. And there's just anywhere from about a quarter inch to an inch empty hole all the way around that frame. If it was built in the 60s or 70s, there might be fiberglass shoved in there, but that window unit is almost responsible for half of the air loss there is. What we do when we insulate it, and we call it the Energy Star installation, we actually drill holes in that old frame, and we fill that with a expanding foam. Totally seals that off.
If you better want, than the insulation that could be there, the fiberglass.
Yeah, I mean, there's just not even any comparison.
Okay.
And so that part of it is really important. And then doing business with a company that's going to be around so that if and or when you have a problem, they're going to be there to, you know, warranty it, you know. And, and they're a company that's got a reputation to take care of it. Because those things, you know, they do come up even with the best of the best.
Now, George, we're talking to a lot of DIYers out there right now. Is putting in some replacement windows something that a DIYer can do? Or do you really have to hire someone to do this?
Well, you know, it's one of those things. And I'm so such a strong advocate of people doing projects in their home and loving where they live and doing that. But, you know, there are some of those cases that one has to understand that one's own limitations. And I would say that this would be one of the examples of that. Now, it's not totally exclusive, right? It's about what percent of the people out there could take this on. But really getting good at foaming those frames, that doesn't come without practice and education and training. Being able to wrap the outside of it with trim that looks good. Being able to put in jam extensions if you need it. You know, I mean, a variety of those things. It really does take pretty good carpentry skills for it to turn out.
All right. George, our listeners, if they have any questions about any of this and they want to get you guys out there to just assess their situation and help them figure out what the next step might be, how do they best get in touch with you?
Go to WMGB.com. It's a tremendous website that's going to go over the brands that we carry. And heck, you can get a personal profile on the guys we have doing our installation. They're all employees of the company. And a little history on us.
Excellent. George, thanks so much for being here.
Oh, thanks a lot, guys.
Well, Betsy, thus endeth the lesson for yet another week.
Thus endeth the lesson?
Yeah, that's me being highbrow, smart, learned.
Learned?
Learned.
Shakespeare, you are not.
Learned. I knew it. I just didn't say it. And then I sounded really dumb. Here I am trying so hard to sound smart.
You are not a professor.
Anyway, the show's over.
Yes, it is.
What a letdown. You can find this episode and past ones online at repcolite.com. So scoot on over there and check that out. And also, when you're there, you can check out a whole number of pretty interesting blog posts, snazzy videos, and some exciting links.
Yeah, one of the really cool links we have up there is a sign up for our email newsletter. We send it out just once a month. It's great savings. Anyone who already gets it will tell you it is absolutely worth signing up.
Except the handful of people that unsubscribe.
Well, that's very rare.
I put them on a list.
Of course you do. Send more garbage.
Yeah. No, we don't send any garbage. One email a month. And it's good savings. So it's definitely worth signing up if you've got a project on the horizon.
Right.
And don't forget about our Facebook contest this week. Tom Folkerts from Eco190 is giving away a free garbage can cleaning. And all you need to do is go to our Facebook page, find the post about dirty garbage cans, and then in the comments, either tell us about the grossest thing you ever found in your garbage or post a picture.
Yeah, because we love pictures. And
yeah, I think that could be really interesting.
Oh, I'm sure it's going to be a whole lot of fun.
We'll pick a winner from all of those entries and we'll announce it next week on the air. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Remember, if you're about to lose your DIY sanity, we can help you fix that crazy.
And we'll help make sure that you never, ever, ever, ever have to crawl into a maggot-filled garbage can to get it cleaned ever again.
The hair on the back of my neck is standing up.
I know. It is gross.
Ew.
Thanks for listening.